Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go
aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Abilene to Annapolis, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? It's a Target Demo Friday. Very exciting, knowing that we are now head strong into the weekend, and today's show is going to be fun. As always, in a Target Demo Friday, we like to know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing. We'll read those later on in the show, in the final segment of the show, but a couple of ways you can let us know, and that is on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
This morning on the program, Pete Prisco is going to join us, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. We'll get his take on everything that happened in last night's really full first night of preseason football. Pete Prisco will join us next hour. In terms of last night's preseason action, have the Browns finally found their quarterback? Why did Tom Brady sign this deal? Is Andrew Luck now in the clear? And Dez Bryant is going to visit who? That's all coming up after last night's preseason action, plus much more. Also, we've got some taste testing to do. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, the dessert coordinator, Brad Heller, listed his top 5 food truck, ice cream truck desserts. Good Humor saw our list, responded, and asked, how does one become a dessert coordinator? I said, years of practice and blowing off your friends and family to eat sweet treats. Good Humor was intrigued and has sent us a box of delicious Good Humor treats. And thus,
you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
We will not only taste test said treats, because what's better than ice cream before 10 a.m., but also the Buffalo Bills have a few official dips. And they have asked us, understanding and knowing, respecting our food acumen, they said, please, DA Show, please, Mothership, will you taste test our dips to let us know and let fans know what the perfect chips complement our dips are for football season? Because we are one with the people, because we do social commentary and causes, we decided pairing chips with dips before football season was a cause we could all get behind. So we'll do that as well coming up next hour on the show. Anything from last night's preseason football action? Let's do it at 855-212-4CBS. I also want to tackle the painful end of King Felix in Seattle. You can hit me on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. But let us begin in Buffalo, where the Panthers took on the Bills. And ironically, shortly after Kelvin Benjamin had called out Cam Newton's accuracy, after Kelvin Benjamin was joining the Buffalo Bills, lo and behold, Cam Newton and the Panthers were visiting the Bills in their first preseason game. And so maybe you saw this footage last night. Before the game, as guys were stretching and warming up, Cam Newton approaches Kelvin Benjamin, and Cam Newton certainly is standing there looking to get an answer or some type of explanation from his former wide receiver who bashed him. And Cam wants to stand there and jaw, and Kelvin Benjamin does not. And Benjamin kind of tries to walk away a couple of times. Cam is not getting the answer that he wants. And it's a pretty chirpy, pretty saucy discussion between the two. And very obviously, Cam is going up there looking for some type of verbal altercation or some type of conversation. And he's not getting it from Kelvin Benjamin. In the back, the background music is blaring Murphy Lee's Air Force Ones. The question is, does anybody look good or does everybody look bad in the Cam versus Kelvin video? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
I mean, I was just moving on from it, I guess.
What did he say to you?
Cool. I mean, that's serious, really.
What did he say to you?
Moving on from it.
It looked like you tried to walk away from him a few times.
Huh?
It looked like you tried to walk away from him a few times.
Yeah, just moving on from it.
He didn't want to get into it.
So. Yeah.
What was he trying to say to you?
He didn't know. I wasn't even trying to listen.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Kelvin Benjamin after the game. Now, Benjamin absolutely took a shot at Cam Newton through the media, telling The Athletic, if you would have put me with any other quarterback, he would have had a much better career, and questioned Cam's accuracy and Cam's quarterbacking skills. And then this video, caught by the Charlotte Observer, shows Cam is standing there, his hands are behind him, clutching a towel, and he's sitting there in his face trying to get answers out of Kelvin Benjamin, and Benjamin tries to walk away a number of times. Let me tell you this, nobody looks good here. Nobody. For Kelvin Benjamin, hey man, you're going to rip your former quarterback in the press? You should be mad enough then to sit there and explain yourself to the guy that you ripped when he comes face to face. As we all know, it's super easy to trash somebody over Twitter or social media or Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. It's way harder in 2018. People don't actually want actual man-to-man or woman-to-woman or man-to-woman conversations or confrontations. Nobody's confrontational unless it's over social media behind the security of the internet. So, in this case, it's a lot of the same thing. You're fine telling a reporter that you hated playing with Cam Newton, but once Cam comes up to you, you don't want to talk to him. It's a chump move by Kelvin Benjamin. But Cam also doesn't look good here. Because Cam Newton, how many franchise quarterbacks seek out former wide receivers who criticize them to confront them? Tom Brady's not doing this. He's above it. Aaron Rodgers isn't doing it. He's above it. Russell Wilson's not doing it. He's above it. There's not many quarterbacks in this game at all that are going to seek out former wide receivers before a game and try to basically get in their face. While I think it's a bum move by Kelvin Benjamin, I also don't think that Cam Newton needs to bother at all with this. And it's part of Cam's kind of public preening and playing the tough guy, because he knows that that's going to be caught on film. He knows that somebody's going to see that. Media are in the press box. Media's on the sidelines. He didn't do this privately. He didn't do this in the tunnel. Didn't do this in the locker room. He does this where everybody can see it because he wants to be seen as the alpha male there. Look, in some ways, that helps out Cam Newton. In this case, I just think it's totally unnecessary. You are so above Kelvin Benjamin here. You are the franchise quarterback. You're one of the best played, one of the best paid players of the NFL. You're an NFL MVP. You've quarterbacked in a Super Bowl. Kelvin Benjamin is a bum compared to you. You don't need to be anywhere near hunting him down to get answers out of him, especially publicly where it becomes kind of a thing. So I don't think either guy looks good. I don't think there's a winner here. And also, I love Buffalo, but we're playing Murphy Lee in 2018 to get people pumped up before a game. Air Force Ones. I mean, hello, 2002 called. I think we can move on. You know, there's a problem with the Buffalo Bills harkening back to the good old days of the 90s too often. They're stuck in the past. We've got to update our hip-hop music here before games. Air Force Ones. It's not Murphy Lee, it's Nelly?
No, I just went on a witch hunt searching Murphy Lee. Nelly is Air Force Ones.
Huh. But Murphy Lee definitely is part of the St. Lunatics who performed that song.
Right. I'm assuming Murphy Lee was in the background, but that is a Nelly single right after Country Grammar.
My guess is that when the chorus goes, I need two purrs, I need two purrs, that's actually Murphy Lee and the St. Lunatics giving the chorus there.
And then Nelly comes in with, I gave a stomping in my Air Force Ones.
Exactly. But again, if we're going all the way back to Country Grammar, that might be 99, right? Or 2000. That's back when basically the old Bills of the 90s are still playing together. We need to update this bad boy.
I think they're playing that off of LimeWire.
They definitely downloaded it illegally off of Napster. That's your cold open, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Also, Kelvin Benjamin can't wait to tell the media how bad Cam Newton was before he actually has an altercation, then last night doesn't want to talk about the altercation. Again, not how it works. You have the stones to go out there and trash your former quarterback, and then there's an incident before a game and you don't want to talk about it. Well, isn't that convenient? Benjamin looks worse, but Cam doesn't look good here. When we come back here on the show, one of the best pitchers of his generation and a potential future Hall of Famer finally has a chance to pitch in October, and he's imploding. The sad story of what's going on with King Felix next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
My man, DA, how the hell are you? Keep up the good work. We're the CBS Sports Network on lock.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Minutes past the hour. Target Demo Friday. So glad you're with us. We're just stomping our Timbs and Air Force Ones in here, getting ready for the weekend. Remember, full episodes of the show, as well as the Permission Granted podcast, available on iTunes. Search DA and CBS or Permission Granted. Also, get them all at daoncbs.com. Daniel tweets, come on, DA, Air Force Ones is a classic. Always room for a classic. Dixieland Dan tweets, I can't wait till Tuesday. I'm trashing you and Mraz's attempt at rapping. Keep Air Force Ones out your mouth. We made heads roll in high school getting pumped to that during pregame. Now, Mraz referenced Air Force Ones by Nelly because that was the music playing behind the Cam Newton-Kelvin Benjamin altercation on the field before the game last night, as right after Country Grammar. However, as I pointed out, that was not on the Country Grammar album. In fact, that was a single, not part of any album, by Nelly and the St. Lunatics. What's the details on Air Force Ones, Merez?
Air Force Ones, Universal Records, put out in 2002 as a single featuring Murphy Lee and the St. Lunatics with Nelly. In fact, it was such a hot riser, and it says in the description, it was described as when Nelly and the St. Lunatics would simply go buy new Nike kicks. It was also featured in a Nike commercial and peaked at number 3 in 2002 on the Hot Billboard 100 charts. Number 3, so that hot a hit, but again, that was 16 years ago.
I'm always in on some Nelly. Always. But if you're going to give me Nelly's greatest hits, Air Force Ones is nowhere near the top. Hot in Here, Country Grammar, EI, Ride With Me, all better songs. I'm sorry, it just is.
On the week that song was number 3 in the Billboard charts and it peaked, who was the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills? I have this.
2002?
Yes. That November weekend when it peaked at number 3, the Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Is it a Todd Collins?
It is not a Todd Collins. So this name is really going to tie you in on why we should retire this song from Pumping Up when Cam Newton's out there.
I give up.
Drew Bledsoe.
Wow. Yeah, right. Because 01, the Patriots win the Super Bowl. By 2002, he's a Buffalo Bill.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Drew Bledsoe getting pumped to Air Force Ones. Unless they were playing a song from 88, back when Bledsoe was warming up.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number, 855-212-4227. This is one of the biggest sins in sports, is that a player grinds his career for an organization or a team that never wins anything, and he's a great player. And finally, when the team gets good, that player is no longer a contributor, or he's let go just before they get good. Remember the Don Mattingly years of the New York Yankees, where Mattingly was the best player in baseball, or at least one of the best players in baseball, and he's an MVP candidate for a number of years. He's one of the best pure hitters in baseball, and the Yankees are dreck. 84, 85, 86, 87. By the early 90s, Mattingly is no longer Mattingly, but he's still part of the team. He's still part of the team in 1995, where they finally get through to make the playoffs. But then by 1996, he's gone, and the Yankees, as Cinderella's, win the World Series and then followed it up in 98, 99, 2000. Mattingly is part of none of those championship teams. King Felix is going down that road, but at least he's part of the roster, because King Felix is part of the longest drought out of the four oldest North American sports leagues. The Seattle Mariners have not made the playoffs since 2001. That's longer than any other franchise out of the baseball, NFL, hockey, and NBA. Yes, the Browns have made the playoffs more recently than the Seattle Mariners. King Felix has been part of this franchise since 05, and they're finally good. And they're chasing down a wild card spot. And Felix Hernandez, who has been an ace, a Cy Young winner, one of the best pitchers in baseball, is finally on a team that could be in October, and he stinks. He has been awful this season. He has nearly an 8 ERA over his last 6 starts. He's getting knocked around, command is bad, velocity is bad, and guys are hitting him hard. And his manager has to pull a very painful move. He's removing King Felix from the rotation and putting him in the bullpen.
I had an opportunity to sit down with Felix later today, after we had met earlier, and explained to him that, you know, I thought it was best for him in the ball club at this point, for him to slide to the bullpen. There's been a lot going on with Felix. I think a lot of, you know, pressure, whatever you call it, everybody's expectations, where it's at. He's done an unbelievable job as a Mariner, and certainly don't take any of this lightly, but I just think trying to make the best decisions for the ball club, and really the best decision for Felix at this point, let's just take a breath, step back, gather yourself. I still think there's a chance, you know, possibly, you know, he'll let us know, you know, how he performs out there, but, you know, could get back into the rotation. But for right now, where our ball club's at, just to kind of let him take a deep breath and then go from there. So he will be in the bullpen as of now.
This is brutal, because if the Mariners had a healthy lead on the division or the wild card, perhaps you can let King Felix save his aura or his dignity and allow him to kind of pitch through this potentially. But because they're in a hotly contested wild card race, the Mariners are now 2.5 games behind Oakland for the final wild card spot, 4.5 behind the Yankees. You can't afford bad outings. And Hernandez this year is 8-10 with nearly a 6 ERA, and it's just been getting hammered recently. So I totally understand why Seattle's got to take him out of the rotation. You can't afford bad starts right now. Every game is basically a must-win game. But when you look at Felix Hernandez, is this not the worst timing ever? An all-star in 09, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 on putrid Mariners teams. He went 19-5 in 09 with a 2.49 ERA in the American League. The next year, he was even better. Even though his win total wasn't as high, he went 13-12 with a 2.27 ERA, which led the league, won the Cy Young. He's won the Cy Young once. He's been second of the Cy Young voting two other times. In 2014, he went 15-6 with a 2.14 ERA. He started 34 games, 2.14 ERA in the American League. Felix Hernandez has been phenomenal. Between 07 and 2015, he was one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and yet every single year, that team stunk, and it was nowhere near the playoffs. And it is just such a sin right now. This happens in sports, but I feel terrible for these types of guys. The Ernie Bankses of the world, the Mattinglys of the world, the Barry Sanders of the world, that are Hall of Fame or great players, and yet they are stuck on franchises that are never good while they're on the team and just get good when they leave. Now, that didn't happen to Barry Sanders or the Lions. They were never good after he left. But this is always so painful. The Mariners in his prime were never close to the playoffs. If you took those years between 08 and 2015, the Mariners lost 101 games twice, 95 games, 91 games, 93 games, 99 games. The last couple of years, they've been around 500 or slightly better 2 years ago, but finally they're good, and Hernandez is not going to be anywhere near the rotation if they finally get to the postseason. Although, Mraz, you better watch out, because your piggy doodle dandy Yankees might be in a one-game playoff with that Seattle Mariners squad at Yankee Stadium. And who knows, it could be King Felix Hernandez coming out of the pen to strike out Aaron Judge in the eighth inning as the Yankees trail 4-3 to close the door and then set it up for the ninth.
I will be honest with you. If that is the occurrence, if Felix Hernandez walks out of the bullpen and the game is one run either way, that'll be the next point in time where I am nervous as a Yankee fan at any point this year. Absolutely. That will scare me.
Because it's Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, he's owned the Yankees over the years. I will tremble if we're up a run or down a run and Felix Hernandez comes out of those bullpen gates and think, oh no, the season's in trouble.
Now, you, just a couple of days ago, were not scared of the Mariners at all. You were laughing loudly at my James Paxton situation.
Because I know that I know that Felix Hernandez would not be starting that game, because James Paxton's obviously a race and Hernandez has struggled. But the idea of Felix Hernandez getting his chance out of the bullpen when you only need him for an inning or two in a tight game, that suddenly makes it a level playing field. To me, even though he struggled, I feel like him juiced up for the playoffs, knowing he's on the Yankees, would make me scared.
We finally have an element of nerves.
I am shocked by the apparent honesty and vulnerability of Sean right now.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was a thing. What happened to you last
night? Respect for an opponent?
You guys have me all wrong. I have respect for opponents when they deserve respecting. Felix Hernandez deserves to be respected for what he's done in his career. And if you're not asking him to start for six innings and you're asking him for two innings, that would scare the bejesus out of me.
Wow.
All right, then. Well, now we know what to pray for tonight.
When we come back here on the show, sound check your best audio of the day, including Bill Belichick on his team's opening preseason performance and this really scary story involving the Wake Forest assistant coach. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Morning, fellas. I'm heading into a meeting at the Department of Transportation, so please, for God's sake, speed me up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you need it.
Thank you so much.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember to watch the show at watchda.com. The simulcast is cooking as we speak. Check it out. You might even see us dancing to Nelly this morning. Andrew Kaplan, Cap, running the webcast as always. The simulcast has a tremendous gif of Pete the Body just grooving to Air Force Ones. He's feeling really good on a Friday morning.
Frisky Friday.
Frisky Friday for Pete the Body Bilotti. So watch us. That's mobile friendly. WatchDA.com. Also, the best videos of the show, the best clips in video form available on our Facebook page, on Twitter, and on YouTube. We'll get to your best audio of the day coming up here, but I just want to address this story. I saw this story pop across my news feed a couple of days ago because it happened in New York City. And late Saturday night, really early Sunday morning, there was a young man from out of town. He was from Florida. He was visiting family in New York City and went out for a birthday party. Apparently, he got pretty tipsy, very drunk, tried to call an Uber, and knocked on someone's car window or door thinking it was their Uber. It was not. Apparently, he was walking away from that car, and the driver of the car got out, punched him in the face or punched him in the head, and then drove away. This young man who was drunk and got punched in the head fell down to the sidewalk, hit his head on the sidewalk, and could not be resuscitated by the time that medics got there and died. So just a super sad story, and yours truly, who takes Ubers in New York City all of the time and everywhere that I am, this definitely sticks out because all of these Ubers that you order, you have the license plate, you have the make, but middle of the night, black cars look like black cars, Accords look like sedans, this looks like that, and if you've ever tried to catch an Uber, you're always kind of wondering, is that my car? Is that my car? You could be at the airport. Is that my car? Is that my car? And to think that you would mistakenly knock on the window of a car you thought was your Uber and get punched in the head and die from it freaked me out. I bring this up on a sports show because we now know the guy who punched that kid who thought it was his Uber is a Wake Forest basketball coach. Jameel Jones, 35 years old, is a Wake Forest assistant basketball coach and surrendered to police yesterday, charged in connection with the death of that guy. A person familiar with the investigation told the Associated Press that the man who died may have been drunkenly knocking on car windows before Jones allegedly confronted him. The person spoke on the condition of anonymity because he was not allowed to speak publicly. The coach got out, followed this kid to the sidewalk, and I say kid because I think he was in his early 20s, clocked him and sped off, police said. He never regained consciousness. Jameel Jones' attorney, the assistant coach, said it's an unfortunate and tragic accident. Mr. Jones and his family, their deepest condolences go out to the family. We simply hope that the public gives my client an opportunity to litigate this matter in the court and not in the press. Wake Forest issued a statement that said, we have just been made aware of the matter and we are gathering information. We will make a further statement after we learn more about the matter. End of quote. I bring this up because, obviously, it's a sports story when it involves an assistant coach. I can't, first of all, it's incredibly tragic and unfortunate and ridiculous and completely avoidable, and I hate it for that reason. I just can't imagine knocking on the wrong door for an Uber and dying from it. Number two, this assistant coach, I can't believe, made this decision. If you're an assistant coach at Wake Forest, you've got a pretty decent lifestyle. You have worked your life to become an assistant coach on the bench of a D1 program. This is not a community college. This is not D3. This isn't a high school coach. You have worked your way up the ladder to have a very comfortable life. I'm not saying assistant coaches have the easiest life because they're watching film, they're traveling, they're recruiting, they're on the road a lot, they're under pressure, they could get fired because their head coach gets fired. There are those parts of it, but imagine risking that career to go punch a guy in the back of the head that knocked on your window mistakenly. Man, that is the worst decision. That is the worst, stupidest, dumbest decision, because now look what it got you. It killed a guy and you're out of a job, because Wake Forest is not going to hang around to their assistant coach after you're embroiled in something this mindless and senseless. We live in a violent time and a violent era because most people do not know how to control their emotions, because we are really bad as a society at figuring out what sets us off. And we are really bad also at rationalizing violence. We like to rationalize violence. We like eye for an eye. And we get set off, and we're agitated, and we're stressed, and we just react. This is what we do. We see it in the media. We are drawn to it when it's on television or in movies. We're a violent society that's addicted to other violence. But this is just a public service announcement. If you are annoyed at somebody, do not punch them. In self-defense, it is what it is. I get it. But if you are annoyed at somebody because they're barking at you, or because they've knocked on the car of your the door of your car, do not do it. Because not only might it kill them, it could end your life. It is senseless. It is ridiculous. This assistant coach just ended his career because he couldn't control his anger or annoyance at somebody who knocked on his car. Look, this dude didn't think he was getting carjacked. This dude didn't think he was in danger. Because this guy got out of the car, followed this dude to the sidewalk, and punched him in the back of the head to where this guy fell over and then died, and the guy sped off. That's how bad that decision is. So when you get in a situation where you're frustrated, you're angry, and you're feeling like you want to punch somebody, think again. It does not help. Self-defense is different. This, in this case, an act of aggression just ended basically two lives. One was health-wise, literally. One is this guy's career, an assistant coach. I mean, how stupid is that decision to not think, man, I'm not going to risk everything to go hunt this dude down on the sidewalk and punch him in the head? No, he did. And now he's toast. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Andrew Luck on Returning to Play.
Like I really enjoyed it. Like I told you guys earlier, I didn't quite know how much fun, if I would have this much fun again practicing football. I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football. And it's a preseason game, you know, I'm not going to overblow anything. We're blowing anything out of proportion, but it's still a game, and it's still a chance to go up against another colored jersey, and it was a fun step on the way.
Andrew Luck's funny. You know, it's like Andrew Luck can't lie. He can't play the polished quarterback saying the right thing. You know, just happy to be back out there, taking one game at a time. Just glad to be out there with my teammates again. Looking forward to the next week. No, man, that was really fun. That was great. I really had a good time. I didn't know that I was going to have that much fun. I really had a lot of fun. This is really cool.
I really enjoyed it.
I really, really enjoyed it. You know, he's just so, he's so authentic. He's just so earnest. I really enjoyed it. It was a really enjoyable football experience for me. Well, yeah, because your arm didn't fall off. Andrew Luck, this preseason, if he gets to the preseason and is throwing footballs at a decent clip and his arm is not sore and it's not a bum shoulder again, is an enormous win for the Indianapolis Colts and Luck's career. He went 6 for 9 last night, 64 yards, led him down the field. Solid drive by Luck, and there's a lot of things that Colts fans were holding their breath on, and I'm sure Luck as well, that now they can exhale. But I just love it. I really, really enjoyed it.
I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football.
It's almost like Andrew Luck got back from a great first date, and his mom's like, "So, Andrew, how did it go?" I gotta tell you, Mom, I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't know that if I was going to have fun or not. You know, her profile looked pretty good on Tinder, but I'm so glad I swiped. I'm so glad. I just had a lot of fun.
It was a fun step on the way.
It was just, I didn't know if I was going to have that much fun, but I really did. I mean, everybody was so nice. The waiter is so good, and she's so smart, and she's so funny. I didn't know if I was going to want to date again after the divorce, but that's such a good time.
I really enjoyed it.
Dak Prescott, now without Jason Witten and Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Cole Beasley, and I think it's been that way. I mean, I know it was that way my rookie year, and last year we were on the same page sometimes, and sometimes we weren't. But he's a guy that's hard to cover. He's hard to cover man-to-man. He's hard to cover in zone, and he can stretch the defense as well. So it's about moving him around, making the defense respect that the fact that he can go over the top, he can beat you over the top. And then once we open that up, he's hard to cover underneath, and that's his game.
Dak Prescott, courtesy of NFL Network. What do you think, Mraz? Dak and the Cowboys convincing themselves that Cole Beasley is a number one?
Oh, that's not going to end well. And who's their number two? Tavon Austin?
Do they sound like they're trying to convince themselves of it and know it's not really true?
Yeah, that's just all luck. Yeah, you're good. You're good, man. You're good. Oh, let's go out versus team and just realize that in the throwing league, we can't throw anywhere.
Like, Cole Beasley is a really good slot receiver, and he's a really good possession receiver. And you can win games with him as your two or your three. You're not going to win a lot of games, especially in the pass game, with Cole Beasley as your number one.
You need to have a number one receiver in this league to win. I don't care how good your offensive line and Zeke Elliott is. You need to be able to throw the ball at some point.
But I think Allen Robinson is a good pickup for them.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Did they get Hearns or Robinson? I get those guys confused.
I do, too. No, you're right.
It's Hearns. They got Hearns, and they got Tavon Austin, they got Cole Beasley. No more Witten, no more Dez, who was falling off anyway.
That's a bunch of twos and threes.
Right. That's a bunch of guys you're just hoping, like, hey, somebody's going to stand out. And when you have a bunch of ifs like that, it just doesn't pan out.
Well, it's three good twos or threes, but three twos does not give you a one.
You know what the Cowboys need here, and I say this seriously? They need the subtractions of Witten and Dez, not that they were bad character guys, to be like when the Giants didn't have Shockey and Tiki anymore for Eli Manning. And Dak needs to make the most of it, make it his team, and then maybe the next year you draft the number one receiver and make the most of the receivers you got.
But Jason Witten is such a good locker room, chemistry, leadership guy that it's hard for me to imagine taking him out of anything can make anything better.
Yeah, but just talent-wise, he was taking up a spot where he couldn't get down the field anymore.
Finally, Bill Belichick, after last night's preseason opener for the Patriots on CBS4 in Boston.
Head coach Bill Belichick, and coach, preseason football is not about winning or losing. But what'd you hope to get out of the first half?
We need to do pretty much everything better, just not good enough in any area.
Was it good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway?
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
So I know that reporter, that's Steve Burton for CBS4, and Steve is always kind of up and energetic and optimistic, and there you see him trying to get Bill Belichick to say anything to try to gloss him. Bill, you know, I know it's not about winning or losing. I know it's not about winning or losing, but, I mean, at least you play good situational football, right? I mean, you have to feel really good about that at least, right? Right?
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
Patriots are in for a world of happiness as part of their film session today and tomorrow, huh? And that is your sound check. Yeah. DA, how'd you like how soundcheck went? Were you happy with it? I mean, you played some good clips, and Mraz found some good ones, and you guys seemed like you had some good stories. Yeah, we had about 38 seconds of good soundcheck. Yeah, we'll basically have to do everything better next time.
It's good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway.
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
Yeah, we'll have to find better audio clips. Yeah.
Not good enough in any area.
Yeah. By the way, Ask the Pros Day, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better parts, better prices every day. Coming up next hour on the show, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports NFL writer, columnist, insider, on what he saw from last night's first full night of preseason action. Would the Browns really want to add Dez Bryant? And we bring you a very important cause in America: matching chips with their appropriate dips for football season. But first, did the Browns find their quarterback last night? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.